This morning's scripture is from Genesis 19, 15 through 26. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you will be consumed in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and left him outside the city. When they had brought them outside, they said, "Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills, or else you will be consumed." And Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords, your servant has found favor with me, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot flee to the hills, for fear the disaster will overtake me and I die. Look, that city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Very well, I grant you this favor too, and will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." Therefore the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture lesson is from Philippians in the third chapter. It is the translation, the paraphrase of The Message by Eugene Peterson, a great biblical scholar, and so it's a little bit more lively language. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, this is Paul, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as my master firsthand. Everything I once thought I was had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I don't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. This is the word of the Lord. Our story this morning from Genesis is the place where Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. And, of course, famously, Lot's wife does look back. I'll tell you a story of a young woman, Michelle Smith. She had just had her first baby, a fine baby boy, and she and her husband named him Jaden. It was like a dream come true in her unfolding successful life. They both had two great jobs. They lived in a wonderful home, and now they had little Jaden. And her father, a pastor, and her mother shared in their joy. Except as the months went by, Jaden missed one after another developmental milestones. At 2.5 years old, They took him to a specialist, and they were told that Jaden was autistic. Now, many of us may have heard about autism, but when this story was told, and where it takes place in our society, there was little known about it and not much could be done. Doctors were just learning to recognize it and diagnose it, and the treatment options for people were very limited, and for infants and young children were virtually non-existent. I have two people in my family with autism. One was treated young and one was not, and you can tell the difference. But they're all doing okay. Michelle and her husband gathered all the information they could about autism and treatment for young children. And can you imagine how they felt when the books, the articles, all told them how they should take their precious child and put him in an institution? When they saw literature and it told of the financially ruinous costs of treatment at home, and then they discovered the lack of medical insurance. When they grieved for the death of their little boy's future, all that they had hoped for him. Jaden was pretty severely affected, and they felt he would never graduate from high school, he would never marry, he would never understand the world as others did. In the days before the internet, it was very difficult finding information on obscure topics. Then one day, Michelle read about applied behavior analysis, applied behavior analysis, or ABA. It seemed to offer a window of hope for Jaden and for them. She called the publisher, tracked down the author, and flew to Chicago to attend a workshop. Now, although she was not a medical professional, Dr. Cobone was impressed by her intelligence and knowledge and commitment, and he was the author of the article, and he said, yes, she could come in and fully participate in the workshop, surrounded by all these medical practitioners. From then on, Michelle never looked back. She plotted her course and moved on. First, she worked with Jaden using ABA every day in a little classroom they set up in their basement. It took Jaden days to learn the most basic things, but learn he did. Slowly, oh so slowly, sometimes after 100 repetitions of a simple task. Michelle joined a support group, met other mothers of autistic children, and as she shared what she and her husband and Jaden were going through, they asked, can we come over and see what you're doing? And soon they asked, can you come over to my house and evaluate my child and see what we can do? Then more children joined Jaden in his basement classroom. Michelle felt a little overwhelmed and underqualified, but there was nothing available locally to these children. She hired college students who were majoring in education and psychology, and she trained them in ABA. And then suddenly, Michelle realized something. She loved working with children with autism. She loved getting on the floor with them and playing with them and seeing that first smile. She was as proud of their progress as she was of her own boy's progress. And that's when she realized the destiny for her life, the life to which God was calling her. And she knew just what she wanted to do next, open a center for autistic children. And so she called the pastor of the local church and said, Dad, how about letting me open an autism center in the church? So how is your journey going? Have you found that destiny to which God has been calling you? And if you are well on your way, let's keep the strength and courage up for the rest of the way. And how do we do that? Well, we don't look back. Lot's wife, as they finally were getting towards that city, looked back. And her future was over. It's understandable why someone would do that. We often look back when our life is turned upside down. We look back and we think about that which we have lost. And the minute we do that, We are frozen in our tracks. We aren't going forward anymore because we are stuck in our pain and disappointment. If you and I want to walk into the future with Jesus, the one in which he is preparing for us, we cannot look back at our suffering. We need to give our pain and disappointment to Jesus and let him carry it, and sometimes us. We need to get up, face forward, don't belittle our suffering, but we need to get moving again. I don't know of any problem or sorrow that is made any better by making it the focus of our life. We just have to keep on keeping on with God in Christ as our support as we creep forward as best we can. Remember what Psalm 23 says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So lean on the staff of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and move forward. Don't look back to pain. You know, sometimes it's not our suffering that causes us to stop our forward progress, but our success. Have you ever really hit the nail on the head? Goodness, you've done something really right. Yay! In fact, you've done something extremely well. You brought that pitiful project in on time and on budget when it seemed like it couldn't be done. You have bright, wonderful grandchildren because you did not kill your own children when they were teenagers. Admit it. You thought about sending them to boarding school in China, but you didn't do it. You stuck it out and did the best job you could to parent those wonderful teenagers of yours. And now grandchildren are your reward. And sometimes we're so pleased with what we have done or created, we think that we have reached perfection. But you know, I think life is more like a garden than a monument. We may have put all the right plants in all the right places, but then the weeds start coming in. And what's more, the trees in our neighbor's yard begin growing. And all of a sudden, the microclimate of that garden has changed from partly sunny to shade. And if our garden is going to thrive, we're going to have to make some modifications. I'm always amazed at myself and others when we think that we can actually control things. I'm convinced that change is inevitable and control is an illusion. Like the trees that grow to shade our garden, like the changing business climate, like the unpredictable nature of politics or the changing nature of the legal system, change is normal. Change is life. But homeostasis is rare and temporary, and sometimes standing still is death. Have you ever stopped to look back at your successes? Maybe you're retired and you're looking back at your accomplishments. Or maybe you're at a particular time in your life where you can sit back for a moment and reflect. That's nice. But don't stay there looking back at your success and accomplishments. Because if you stay there long enough, you'll see them changed, discarded, ignored by others. The world will move on, and what you've written and recorded will be lost unless someone transfers it to digital form. A new person will take your position and have different ideas and want things to change. Someone will break your golfing score record. A new neighbor will cut down the tree and blast it. Now your garden is in full sun. And you know, that's okay. Because if we prevent those changes, we will stifle someone else from fulfilling their destiny. And if we can be honest, we probably weren't perfect after all. Or we were just perfect for our time, and we can let it go. The good we have done, our accomplishments, will be the cornerstone of someone else's work. It will be the guiding light for them as they struggle to become the people God calls them to be. And that's not too shabby a legacy. The mistake is to demand that things remain the same, either to feed our ego or perhaps to fend off our fears of dying or nothingness. Or remember, you are not nothing. God created you to be who you are and do what you do. Don't stifle your future or anyone else's by looking back at your success. Let it go and be content. And then get ready for whatever God is calling to you to do now. So face forward and get ready to march. You know, sometimes it's not our successes or accomplishments that keep us stuck and looking back. It's our failures. The older we get, the more cognizant we are of all that we messed up or failed to do. It is the double-edged sword of wisdom. One side shows us our failures, our successes, and those failures can be fairly cutting. But the other side helps us cut through those failures so that we can bear them and move forward. It's like an old story. A young executive asked the retiring executive, "How do you learn to make good decisions?" And the retiring executive said, "Make bad decisions." You learn a lot from that. We've all made mistakes, sometimes bad mistakes, mistakes we don't like to think about. But sometimes we are so overcome with regret that we dwell on them and we get stuck. Remember that St. Paul said, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That should give us hope. God did not wait until we were perfect. God loves us when we are imperfect and think we are worth dying for. Lay your burden down if you've got one and forgive yourself. God in Christ has already forgiven you. Use it as a guidepost. And that you don't want to go down that road again, and don't go down it. Take another road and know that Jesus is on the road with you, helping you along. Ask for forgiveness from others you've hurt if you need to. Make amends if you can. And give God the things you can't fix. Only God can go into your past and lift out your sin to make things right. Let God do it. Then no more looking back. It's done. It's forgiven. Walk on a wiser and humbler person. You know, today the Quad City Autism Center is going strong, and so are Jaden and his parents. Michelle said, "God did not allow me to fall through the cracks by giving me a child with autism. God didn't take me out of the situation, but God certainly carried me through it." Michelle did not look back and stay stuck, and so she saved herself, her son, and many others. God has a plan for your life, and it's a good one, no matter what your age is. You may not be called to an easy life, you are, but you will be called to one that is worthwhile. Worthwhile for you and so many others. And the gift of giving yourself to others doesn't stop being important at age 50 or 80 or 100. So walk on and don't look back. And remember, God is with you and for you. Amen.